Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. You glad that you made it? Aren't you glad that you are still here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because we know that some of us would have been lost, but because of the love of God, we are here because we've still made it. We are among the land of the living. Praise God. God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio this evening. You are listening to Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is April the 1st, 2013. Praise God, we are beginning a new month, and today is the first day of the new month. For my first-time listeners, Victory Against All Odds is a radio talk show for the family where we will talk about some of the struggles, some of the obstacles that families face as it relates to the issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. So let's talk. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Again, that is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Please email me if you have any questions that you need assistance with, or you may call my confidential voicemail line, 641-715-3900, extension 343-658#. Anything that you share will be confidential as the law permits. I say that because we are getting ready to talk about some very, very confidential, some very sensitive things. And over the course of the month, I want you to call your friends, those who have been hurt, text someone, tweet someone, call someone, let them know we are on the air. So I want you to just bid them to come so that we can impart information, knowledge, and bring about a place of freedom and deliverance. Hallelujah. We praise God for you on today and tonight. I would be remiss if I didn't say today is the 1st of April. And if I didn't say it, I would get a phone call when I got off the air. April is the fourth month of 2013, and it is the first day. And we know that number one means new beginnings. It means unity. It means position. It means primary order. And we also know that it represents God being first. Hallelujah. Four represents the month of April. It's the fourth month. And so, therefore, four represents dominion and rule. And we can take that a whole lot of ways. Dominion and rule. It also represents a place of one who has experienced material success in the world. And they have lost their material possession. And the reason why you've lost your material possession, as you've come to a place of material completeness, God will allow you to lose that stuff so that he can bring you to a spiritual completeness, a spiritual awareness, if you will. So we certainly thank God for the number four. Four also represents earth. So we having rule and dominion over earth. God has given us power over the earth. And so if we go to the Word of God, as we always do, Job, first chapter of Job, the 20th verse. Is it 20? No, I'm sorry. It is 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, the wilderness represents the earth because it's either earth, heaven, or earth. And, of course, earth would be the wilderness. And smote the four corners of the house And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only are escaped alone to tell thee. So God will bring us to a place where those things that we hold so near and dear here in the earth realm, he'll bring us up to a place where we have gotten material things in our life, and we begin to covet those things. And God will have no other God before thee, because he is a jealous God, and he will smite your house because he's a jealous God, in order to bring to a place of spiritual awareness that he is first, and he demands to be first because he is first and foremost. We praise God that some of you, let me say, since I'm on this particular page, let me say that some of you will begin to experience, as 2013 represents divine change, 13 represents a divine change. So I come to share with you in this particular passage of scripture or reference to today, that some of you will experience a divine shift, and he will blow on your material goods, your material possessions, your house, your car, your job, something that you hold dear to, because you have made that thing a covenant to the point that you have forgotten God and you are operating without him. And he wants to be in all of our business. He wants to be a part of every area of our life. And therefore, praise God, therefore he will smite thee and cause you to pay attention. And so now, on the other side of that, there are those who are walking in spiritual disobedience. And if you are disobedient and you refuse to lay down your agenda and lay down your thought that is not of God, and your way of thinking that is not of God, and carry about a thing or a way that is contrary to the word of God, God will blow on your stuff. He's going to get your attention. Praise God. So I just wanted to just leave that little bit of word right there so that you understand that in all things we serve him, and we love him, and we want God up in our business, because we know that there is no failure in God. And when we put God in our business, then we know that we have blessed assurance, hallelujah, and that we have a firm foundation, and that we can go on because we have yielded ourselves, our members, our thinking, our heart, and our mind to the Father. So praise God for that. And right along those lines, we praise God, and I pray that each and every one of you that have tuned in, whether it be in the chat room or in the studio, or those that are listening by radio, and those that would listen by archives, I hope and pray that you had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Praise God. We praise God that Jesus got up so that we might live, and he got up with all power in his hand. Praise God. Praise God. So God bless you. Again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in on today. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing, and we are certainly glad in it. We have had an awesome time talking about hearing the voice of God, and it was just a pleasure, just being able to share and impart that. And again, I praise God for Evangelist Connie Hayes, who is in the chat room, and for just lending her time to share and impart part of that word with me. So God bless you, woman of God, for just making yourself available and sharing with us what God has placed on your heart concerning hearing his voice. And so we're going to shift, because April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And you who have been following me since the birth of Victory Against All Odds know that we have spent a lot of time talking about abuse of various kinds and the residue that comes from that. So I am excited because I have some things lined up for you all. On last week, I had the awesome pleasure of attending the NC CASA conference, which stands for the North Carolina Coalition Against Sexual Assault here in North Carolina. And I also attended the Take Back the Night on NC campus, which on last year, if you was with me, we did that live. And though we had some technical audio difficulties, I think you were able to feel the unity in the room on the campus as we went and just took a stand, and how it was just a beautiful sight to see the students and the community come together and take a stand against sexual violence and sexual assault. And so attending the conference on last week, I had the awesome pleasure of hearing a Reverend William Barber, who is the president of the NCAA here in North Carolina, and just hearing him share a word with us. And if you have been paying attention to the news, you would know that there are those who are in government who are trying to take our rights from voting and take our power away. Now, mind you, that 13 represents the spirit of rejection and the spirit of going back. And so how timely is it when I spoke in January about the spirit of going backwards and the spirit of rejection? And so we see again here in government where those who are the powers to be are trying to reverse something that was given to us, our right to vote, our right to be heard. And I hadn't planned on saying that, but I need to say that so that you are aware that we need to come together. And that was the message, part of the message, I should say, that Reverend Barber brought to us. But he also brought to us an awareness about the spirit that goes along with people who are trying to come against us. So timely, we talked about the spirit of Jezebel, Rahab, Beelzebub, those women who God allowed to experience sexual violence. And the way he packaged that is that God did that on purpose so that we here now, today, 2013, can know the power of the God that we serve and know that he is a healer, he is a deliverer. And so I'm excited that in the month of April, we will be connecting with some of our faith-based community organizations as we have joined together to take a stand against sexual violence in our neighborhoods, in our cities, our states, our regions, across the country. Praise God. So some of the topics we will be discussing is human trafficking, as well as some of the other nonprofit organizations, Thinking of You Outreach, which is CEO, her name is Ms. Angela Farrell. She will be joining us on the 15th of April and coming to us and sharing with us her story and her testimony and the birthing of what God has assigned to her hands. Praise God. And there will be others. I am waiting on some others to get back with me, and we did not leave the men out. So praise God, men of God that are listening, those that are not saved, those that are still stuck, I want you to join me and stay with me for the month of April. I have some powerful things that's going to help bring about deliverance to people who have been abused and people who have been assaulted and those that have been beaten down and those who have low self-esteem. I want you to stick this out with me. It's a little bit of a shift, but I promise you that when this is done, some will be free from those things that had them chained and shackled and those that have been in prison. In their minds and their bodies and their spirits. So as we talk and expose this spirit of sexual violence, the spirit of perversion, praise God, sexual abuse and assault. Let me share some statistics with you, and I will be opening up the lines. I do not see me talking all night, so I will be opening up the lines, so I definitely want you to dial in 818-572-2919, and so I'm going to open the lines, and I want you to share and just give feedback and so forth. So let's talk about some of the statistics, but before we do that, we've got to understand what sexual assault is. And so for those of you who are my first time listeners or don't really know or not sure or think you have a knowledge of, let's just kind of put a settlement to that. Sexual assault is a involuntary, that's key word, it's involuntary sexual act in which a person is threatened, they're coerced or forced to engage against their will or any sexual touching of a person who has not consented, okay? So again, it's involuntary sexual act. It is against their will, forced to engage in any sexual touching of a person who has not given consent, okay? This includes rape, such as forced vaginal, anal, or oral penetration, inappropriate touching, forced kissing, child sexual abuse, or the torture of the victim in any sexual manner that you can even imagine. Okay, so that kind of puts, so now that you have an understanding and have a definition to go along with what we're going to be talking about, let me just give you some statistics as it talks about one of the big things. I do pray and hope that I am able to get my speaker for human trafficking, but let me give you an idea of what that looks like, because I can imagine that those of you that are listening are probably saying, you know, it's 2013 and those things only happen in third world countries or in foreign countries, and that's not necessarily the case. But let me give you some statistics. Human trafficking is a modern-day form of slavery, okay? Victims are young children, they're teenagers, they're men, and they are women. So victims of human trafficking are subject to forced fraud, coercion, to compel them to engage in commercial sex or involuntary labor. What's more, any child who has engaged in commercial sex is a victim of child human trafficking. So that kind of gives you an idea and of what human trafficking is in modern day. Now, I'm going to be throwing some stuff out here. I would hope that you have pen and pencil, but at the same time, God bless Block Talk Radio for archives. There are approximately, listen to this statistic, 600,000 to 800,000 victims of trafficking across international borders annually, according to the U.S. government. More than half of these victims worldwide are our children. This is according to the U.S. Department of Statistics, and these are statistics for now. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about now. Children, child victims of trafficking, they're considered persons who are under the age of 18, exploited for commercial sex, including prostitution, pornography, and sex tourism. They're exploited for labor, including domestic servitude, migrant farming, and we hear about migrant farming all the time, landscaping and hotel or restaurant work. Go to these foreign countries, and you may even see it in some parts of perhaps maybe even the United States, and you are unaware. So this is just to bring attention to some of this. Most frequently come from the Pacific Islands, the former Soviet Union, Latin America, Southeast Asia, and Africa, as well as developing countries. The reason for coming to the U.S. varies because children often succumb to exploitation under the guise of opportunity. Children may believe they are coming to the United States to be united with their families, and then I just heard a document about that, to work in a legitimate job or to attend a school. But that is not the case. Additionally, children may be subject to psychological intimidation or threat of physical harm or self or family members. Now, I'm going to stop there because we can just spend all night on just human trafficking, but I just wanted to give you, as they say, a hors d'oeuvre of what human trafficking is and what that looks like. And then one of my other guests that I pray, and this is for the men that are listening, that I had an opportunity to be introduced to from the North Carolina Coalition Against Sexual Assault. We call it NCCASA for short. There's a program, and it's called Engaging Men and Boys in Sexual Violence Prevention. And so I pray and hope that I'm able to get Dr. Leathers to join us this month on the broadcast. And just to kind of give you an idea, the Office of Violence Against Women, which is a component of the U.S. Department of Justice, provided a $6.9 million in awards to 23 projects through the Engaging Men in Preventing Sexual Assault, Domestic Violence, Dating Violence, and Stalking Grant Program. That's a mouthful right there. And so as a part of this act, the Violence Against Women's Act in 2005, the Engaging Men's Grant funded projects that develop and enhance new and existing efforts to engage men in preventing violence against women and developing mutual respect, nonviolent relationships. And this is important, men and women of God, that we teach our boys, our men, our sons, how to respect women. I am a big enforcer on that because we see and we hear in all kinds of venues, on the news, commercials, and in schoolyards, and especially in prison, and you hear conversations where men are degrading and belittling women and what they think is funny, and it's just not funny. So, again, I'm just giving you a little hors d'oeuvre. I pray, and I need my intercessors to be praying that Dr. Leathers will be able to join us. So for those who, such as myself, who have experienced sexual assault, sexual abuse, and rape and molestation and all of those categories that kind of fall up under there, it is a process. And so my message tonight is simply, it's just not tolerated anymore. And what happens, you know, because it's been said, it's such a secret. I need to get you to hear me by the Spirit that this cannot be kept a secret. This is not a secret. And so those of you that may be listening or you've experienced this and you've never told anyone, I am talking to you on this evening. You need to speak up. You need to cry out. You need to let someone know you are tired of being in a place of darkness. Because that's a lonely walk. It is a lonely place to be where you feel like you're so isolated and you're so alone that you can't talk about what someone else did to you. Which brings me to where I wanted to go, and I'm going to be done, and we can open up the lines and we can talk about this. When we've experienced sexual assault, rape, molestation, incest, whatever the case may be, it brings you to a whole nother world because you've been violated, your rights have been taken away, and then there comes a point of anger, you know, you're angry, and depending on what age, you know, you are when all these things happen to you, brings about other offenses, if you will. Let me say it that way. So if we talk about anger and the residue that comes from being angry, then we've got to talk about what we consider to be good, healthy, and unhealthy forms of anger. Now, if we go to the scriptures, because you know I'm going to go there at some point in time, there is what we call righteous anger and unrighteous anger. In other words, there's a way to be angry, and then there is a way that is unhealthy. Okay, so believe it or not, there are ways of expressing your anger in a positive way. How do you express anger in a positive way? Well, those are the things that we're going to talk about throughout the month. And so I just wanted to raise that umbrella up to you so we can talk about that. So expressing anger is just one of the ways we can direct the blame towards the one who hurt us, okay, or that they did something wrong, such as rape. And rather than turning the anger inwardly, my cry to you on this evening is, instead of internalizing that anger, which is a disaster in itself, need you to bring that anger in the opposite direction. So instead of turning it inward against yourselves or ourselves, we tend to fear anger, but anger has its place as well. Anger has a place in our life. So we need to figure out how to do this in a constructive, positive, healthy fashion. Because out of control anger or anger within is not healthy. Okay? It manifests in all areas of our life, our relationships, on our jobs, with our children, with our spouses, in our ministries. No, we can't do that. So hear me. So moving along, we need to express our anger in ways that is healthy and is constructive for healing, because at the end of this, all of this is going to be healing. Okay, so let's and just get a pencil and pen and just jot the scriptures down, and then you can go back and read them. There is, you know, what we consider to be healthy or righteous anger, and there is scripture to back that up. Psalm 7:11 says, "God judges the righteous." Amen. He does. And God is angry with the wicked every day. And we know this. God is angry with the wicked every day. That's just one scripture. If we go to Mark 3:4-5, and it says, "And he being Jesus, of course, said unto them," he was talking to the Pharisees, and he's asking a question. He says, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent, the Pharisees, that is. And he looked around at them with anger. See, even Jesus was angry with them. He grieved at their hardness of heart, and he said to the man being the one that needed to be healed, okay, he told him to stretch out his hands, and he stretched it out, and his hands were restored. Now, you know that because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were religious, so they had a religious spirit, and we don't want to have a religious spirit because that brings forth no fruit. You can't produce any fruit if you have just a religious spirit. We've got to be grounded and rooted in Christ, and we can't have all these other things that weigh us down, that are weights on our shoulder. We can't be burdened down and serve Christ in a healthy manner, because then your walk is stagnated, it's slowed down, and you won't walk in the fullness of. So again, Mark 3:4-5 says, "And he," Jesus, "said to them, is it lawful?" He's asking a question. And I'm asking this question to you. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? But they were silent, and he looked around at them with anger. Even Jesus was angry. He was angry, and he was grieved at their hardness of hearts. Now, that's righteous anger. There's some things that go on that we need to just be, you know, that we consider to be righteous anger, and that's one of them. Then there's such thing as unrighteous anger. you know, those things that we need to refrain from. And this is the reason why, and this is why we go in here. Psalms 37 and 8 says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. Amen. Proverbs 15 and 18 says, a hot-tempered man, or woman, we can put a woman there, stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. That's why we need to think before we speak, and we need not make decisions when we are angry, men and women of God. That is so, so important. Do not make decisions when you are hot. Because you are subject to make the wrong decision, because you are making the decision out of your emotions. And that is a message in itself. Okay? Proverbs 29 and 20 of strife, and one given to anger causes much aggression. And that is a true statement. And we can put ourselves there, or we can think of situations where we know someone who is angry and bitter, they respond out of their anger and their frustration, and they make decisions, and they cause others to respond because they're responding out of their anger. In other words, they're stirring up strife because they're so angry, and there's a wall up. And, you know, my former pastor used to say, an angry dog is going to do nothing, or a wounded dog is what he would say. A wounded dog is going to do whatever it takes to keep you from hurting what's already been hurt. And he's not calling us dogs, but he was using a reference that when we are hurt, we do whatever it takes to protect the hurt that's already there. So we're not going to let no one cross that line to hurt us again. In other words, we put a barrier there. Amen, somebody. Proverbs 30 and 33 says, I read this scripture last night. Wow. For pressing milk product produces milk. For pressing milk produces curd. Pressing the nose produces blood. And pressing anger produces strife. So if you hit someone's hot button, if you know, men and women of God, that there is something that makes a person mad, why would you press that button except that your motive is wrong? And, of course, if you are one to always dig or put a pin in someone's hot spot, you are not of God, and I'm just going to say it like that. That is of the enemy. You purposely poured hot oil in someone's wound because you were what, trying to seek revenge? Or produce a certain emotion to gain whatever it is that you were trying to do. And a lot of times you see this in married couples, relationships, you know. One will say to the other such and such and such because, you know, that makes them mad. Men and women of God, don't do that. Don't do that. Proverbs 14 and 29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. Praise the Lord. But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Don't you love the Word of God? Because the Word of God just gives us instructions. And I love serving God because when we need an answer about anything concerning our life, all we have to do is go to the Word, which is life in itself. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger. And it is his glory to overtake an offense. And I was speaking to someone yesterday, it was this morning. And I said this very thing. We need to not respond out of our anger, even though that person made us mad or they said something that we know just was wrong. If we are serving God, men and women of God, we can't respond out of our flesh. Yes, I know. I hear you by the Spirit. Well, that's easily said. I do know that it's easily said than done. But that's when we have to think that we got to go back to thinking before we react and respond. It says so in the scriptures. So we need to be slow to anger and quiet that quiets contention. So we need to think before we respond, before we act, before we say. Okay. Last one in terms of the scriptures is Ecclesiastes 7 and 9. It says, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. That's deep right there. That's a deep cut. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry. And what we see here when we talk about sexual assault and being sexually abused, because it is a secret. That is the thing that goes along with that. We, you know, the person who offends us says, shh, don't tell nobody, it's a secret. So then we're harboring all these feelings in our heart, and that produces anger. And we needed to talk about that. And I'm leaving some things wide open because, like I said, I've got we've got a whole month. We're going to bring all this to a head. But I want you to ponder on that right there. Also wanted to talk about just when we become angry, you know, it leads to other things. Because after the most intense anger kind of takes its rightful place, then we start to blame or we feel shameful. And so I ask the question again, how are you feeling? Oh, do you feel ashamed for being raped or sexually assaulted? And so I'm talking to those who need to come out of their closet, those who are hiding, and even those who may be connected to the vine, but you've never dealt with this part of your life. You decided that you was going to go on in God, but you never pulled up this root right here. And if anybody that knows me knows I like to deal with the root of the matter, because we can't water it over. We can't put new fresh dirt over it and fix that it's going to go away if we don't give it to God. If we don't pull up the root and offer it up as an offering to him, then how do you expect deliverance? How do you expect to walk in your freedom, men and women of God, and those who are not in Christ, those who may not even serve God? I am talking to you. How do you expect to be free from this issue of life if you never deal with it, if you wish it away, or you think if you'll never talk about it, all it's doing is eating at the very foundation of your being, and then you're rooted in bitterness and strife and anger and hatred. And God is love. Amen, somebody. So we need to be discerning, those that are in Christ and those of us, I'm talking to me too, because I have charged to be discerning and have that tool so that when we come in contact with those who may be hurting, that we can call it out and we can expose it and pull those roots up so that we can bring others to a place of deliverance. Amen. Now, the thing about this is, I know that there are going to be those who don't quite understand or may not even agree, because you're still in it and your eyes have become blind. But that's why I'm here. I'm here to bring about awareness. And a lot of times, people who don't understand may ask the person who has brought this up. So now I'm charging those who are the listeners. You need to be discerning, and you need to make sure that you are not sitting in the seat of judgment. When someone comes to you with these issues, please don't sit in the seat of judgment. Don't ask them what they were wearing, because believe it or not, and I'm going to lose some people here, clothes has nothing to do with being violated, nothing at all. It is not just cause for violating another human being, never. Never. So to the survivor, do not become defensive when you hear this. Instead, I'm talking to you. You take the time to dispel those biases and those myths about sexual assault, sexual abuse, rape, and whatever category that you happen to be in. or that you happen to fall into. Some of the other questions that people may ask are did they have a knife? Were you drinking? That is still not a cause or a reason for someone to be violated. And to the men, if you are in a situation where you see your female friend, a female period, whether they are your personal friend, in a situation where they're intoxicated and they are vulnerable, your job is to bring them to a place of safety and not allow others to violate them. Amen. So there is the shame of all of that. So let's talk about that for a minute. I'm opening up the line. Shame is the inner experience of being not wanted. It is a feeling worthless and rejected and a castaway. To feel ashamed is to believe that you're bad or you're worthless. Shame is believing that you're not lovable because you're damaged goods. Shame cannot be remedied. It must be somehow endured, absorbed, gilded, minimized, or denied. Shame is so painful and so debilitating that persons develop 1,000 coping strategies, conscious and unconscious, numbing and destructive to avoid the torture. Amen. I know that to be true. I had to use some of those strategies just to get by. Shame is the worst possible thing that can happen because shame in its profoundness means conveying that one is not fit to live in one's own community. So are you keeping a secret? Have you been violated? Are you ashamed? To some, the answer is yes. Like, once upon a time, I could say yes to that question. For many, many years. I was ashamed of what happened to me, and I kept it a secret for a way, way, way too long. But today, I stand free and delivered. Amen. So I just wanted to lay that foundation out there. And if you wish to comment, press 1. If you are in the studio, press 1. I'll open up the lines. Just want to give you that little bit as we move forward. And we're going to just kind of really kind of get in there. And for those of you who have been following me, you know, there's more to that story. And there's more in-depthness of the whole shame blame factor. And then, of course, there are other definitions that go along with the definition of being sexually assaulted, rape. There are degrees. There are laws pertaining to your particular state. So if you need help, assistance, if you know someone, I bid you to please call my confidential voicemail line. We will get you help. There's more help than you can imagine. There are those that are waiting to assist you in any situation. If you're not quite sure, if you have doubts, if you have a scenario, you don't have to give names, then let me help you be a resource to you in your state, in your county, you know, wherever you are. There is a 1-800 line. We'll talk about all of that. I just wanted to just bring that out as we walk upon and embark upon Sexual Assault Awareness and let you know that we will not stand for this type of behavior, men and or women, amen, walking in God's purpose. It is true that we need to be a voice, and we need to come to an understanding that there is help. And the ultimate help, of course, is Jesus Christ. You know, because we dwell here in the flesh, you know, that's just something we don't have to do all by ourselves. It is not a secret. And so, again, if you need help, it is time for us to take back the power that has been stripped from you, that has been taken away from you, and it is time for you to take control of the power that has been taken from you. And we know the ultimate source of that power comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that do not, that may not necessarily be serving God or even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for you, there is still hope, help for you. I am not trying to shove Jesus down your throat. What I am trying to do for you is to get you to a place where you can walk in victory against all odds. My ultimate prayer is that you be free from the things, from the mindset, the anger, the bitterness, the guilt, the shame of being molested, raped. And we also know that with that, we also have to talk about domestic violence, because there are those who believe that just because you're married, that there is no such thing as marital rape. But domestic violence and sexual assault does occur. And I do see a caller and I'm going to get you in just a minute, a woman of God. But nearly one in every four women are beaten or raped by their partner during their adulthood. And then one in six women, one in 33 men have experienced an attempt or completed rape. So three women are killed by a current or a former intimate partner each day in America on average. That is alarming. Let me go to the line. Praise the Lord. You are on the air. Thank you for calling, Victory Against All Odds. Thank you for calling, woman of God.
Yes, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fine. I have been blessed sitting here listening, but I was led to say from my experience of coming through the abuse and being abused and abusing and being a drug abuse, everything, do not keep it a secret. Because when you keep it a secret, you enable the devil to keep on punishing you for something that you may not even cause on yourself. So tell somebody that's sitting out there, is going through this right now, and you're listening, saying, I don't know which way to go or what to say. Tell somebody. Keep on telling it until somebody listens. Trust me, if you keep on saying it and telling somebody, somebody's going to hear you, and you will get help. Tell somebody. That's my message, is just tell them to tell somebody so you can get help, because the devil can only keep you bound if it's a secret. And God has made us free and liberty. So tell somebody. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. That's the message. Amen. Absolutely. And keeping the secret does. It keeps you bound. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for sharing. And I hope that those that are listening would hearken to the call. And again, if you need to get in touch with me, my email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com, or you may reach me at my confidential voicemail at 641-715-3900. The extension or the access code is 343-658#, and you may talk up to an hour. And if you desire to share on the airway, you don't have to give your name. You can come in as anonymous. You can give your story. Or if you need help and you've never sought help, you can email me or call my confidential voicemail. We'll be glad to assist you. It doesn't matter what state you live in. We will connect you to the resources that that are available in your state, in your county. We are here to help, and we do not sit in the seat of judgment. This is all about being free and made whole. It's all about being delivered. And, again, if you desire to be a guest or to share, just write me on the title line. If you're writing me on the email, on the title line, please put Victory Against All Odds so that it doesn't get deleted or that it doesn't go into spam.
Amen.
So just put broadcast, and that will keep it from being shifted into spam and being lost. So praise God. Woman God, you have anything else you want to share or say?
No, I'm just so grateful that, you know, God put it on your heart to reach out to the people with this so serious thing, because you know what? It's been hushed up for so long, and nobody wants to talk about it. But you have so many wounded people, and they're sitting in the pews too. And that's why we need help. And I just thank God for you, and I thank God that you are being obedient to His call to you to do the purpose He has put on your life. So God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, woman of God. And again, just kind of echoing what Evangel said, is you've got people in the pulpit, you've got people sitting in the church who are hurting. You know, yes, they're dancing on the floor, you know, they're at the altar, but they are wounded, they're scarred. And so we want to make sure that that you are whole and healed and delivered, because Victory Against All Odds was birthed just out off of that alone. It was birthed off of my deliverance from child abuse, all the way up, and everything in between, all the way up to my point of deliverance, including a nervous breakdown when I was in college, just because I kept a secret. And once I had the nervous breakdown, I knew I was in trouble, because it leads to some of the other residues of what we talk about, suicide, you know, and just attempting to take my life for not dealing with this issue years before, then, you know, it led me to a brick wall. But praise God, I'm still here. So I thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Please come back next week, and we will take this step further, and stay tuned, and God bless each and every God bless as well, honey. And I will see you again here next week. Play for me as we get on the road, going to take care of some things as I complete writing my book, and going to take care of some things. And I pray, and I will see you right here on April the 8th at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. God bless each and every one of you. Good night.
Is anybody glad in the room for Jesus? Is there anybody that's glad in this room for Jesus? Before we quit, can you sing that tonight? Say, Jesus. Who rose again?
Jesus.
who died for me and you. Who is your Savior? Who is your King? When love called you, call your holy name. What's the name above all names? Who is the name above all names? Who has resurrection power? Who has resurrection power? Can you lift your hands and call his name? On one accord, we worship the name. We're gathered here to call your name. Because where two or three are gathered, you see, he's in the midst of me. There's power in that name. There's power to chase demons in that name. Who delivered you from every sickness? Who saved your marriage and saved your home? Lift your hands and call the name. Lift your hands and call the name. Just one more time, don't get tired. He's worthy of our worship and praise. Who is the lily of the valley? The sweetest name is Jesus. Once again, just worship the name. Jesus. Can you say his name one more time? It's Jesus. Jesus. Thank you for tonight, Jesus. For what you did in this room tonight, we give praise. Holy and sovereign is your name. We could call your name all night long. We could call your name all night long. All together on one accord, his name is Jesus. Come on, lift up the greatest praise that you have, for the greatest name that ever was, is, and will be, for the name that is above all names. For at that name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Shout a praise to your King. Praise to your Lord. A praise to your God. Is anybody glad in the room for Jesus?
God bless you and have a good night.